Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of My Cost. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, My Grace is Sufficient for You. And the reference for this particular title is found in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. One of the greatest spiritual diseases that a believing one can possess is pride. Indeed, pride is a disease. We define pride as inordinate self-esteem or an inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in one's merit. Paul was a sent one. That is, apostello. He was sent off from Christ as a mission. And Paul's mission was to publish the Evangelion, the gospel, to the nations. And please note that the word Gentiles is not found in the original text. Paul was sent to publish the good news to the nations. There are three divisions noted in Scripture. We have Israel, the nations, and the Ecclesia, or the church, the called out ones. So Paul was apostle, was a bond slave, that is, one whose will is swallowed up in the will of another. And Paul was greatly challenged by the saints at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the believing community at Corinth indeed collectively referred to as saints. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are, and notice the verb are, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The word sanctified means to be set aside. And in Christ, we have the preposition in Greek, en, in Christos. A preposition in is a preposition of rest. In Christ Jesus, cold. We have an adjective, the adjective called cold thing. Here, the word saint is also an adjective, the hagios, the hagios. With all them that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul loved the saints at Corinth. They were a great challenge to him spiritually. And it is interesting that in the Old Testament we have a verse which states in the Proverbs, in the Chachma, in the Book of Wisdom, that iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance or face of his friend. The Old Testament used concrete pictures to express thought. There is an immediacy. There is a great and powerful encounter that one notes in the Old Testament. Once again, because the ideas are concrete and immediate. Whereas in the New Testament, it's written in Koine Greek, that is the common Greek of the marketplace, the Greek of the people. And so it's not like Attic Greek or other types of Greek. It is the common Greek. There's a smoothness that one finds in the Greek of Luke, and there's a terseness one finds in the Greek of Peter. But Luke, in the Gospel of Luke and the Acts, shows a very smooth, these writings are very interesting to study. Very important that we understand that the personalities of the authors are given to us through the writers. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul relates the incredible knowledge that he has received in Christ. Now, what is wonderful here is that in Genesis chapter 3, the Nakash and the Isha, that is the shining one, and the woman had a conversation about God. There was a theological conversation about God. About God. Paul relates his direct encounter with the person of Christ. In verse 12, in chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "It is expedient for me, doubtless, glory. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, and whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up or snatched out to the third heaven." The third heaven is reference to the environment of God. Now, at this point, let me say I have read writings where individuals have try to talk about this layered universe, or this universe which has three levels, and some of the writings are very interesting and entertaining, but our sakes, the third heaven refers to the throne of the environment of God. In the Greek, the word heaven is ourano. Verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up, again, there's the verb caught up, as we have in verse 2, into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, years ago, there was a book by an individual who stated that she had gone to heaven. Originally, there was a book by an individual who stated that she had gone to heaven. I always wait and listen to the public reaction to these writings. And what we said, and I'm always interested in the naivete that surrounds such claims. And then you have this very interesting, very powerful account of the Apostle Paul. And we're not sure what he is recounting here is the time in which he was stoned and left for dead. May we think that maybe this was the event he was speaking of. Paul never had it easy. His ministry was not easy. And if there were individuals who have who faced great difficulty, it would have to be the individuals who followed Christ and took very seriously the ministry to which they had been called. Diakonia in the Greek, servant. To be a servant and one who serves. Jesus said that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What we have here is a very powerful account by this man on a personal experience, in which God will show him something about himself, that is, who he is before God and God's way with him. God has a way in which he deals with us individually. And please keep in mind, this man was a former Pharisee. This man had pedigree, power, position. And this man left it all. He turned his back upon those things and said that they were all dumb, that he might obtain the excellency of Christ. There was that hiatus. There was that point in time in which he realized, that he knew the living Christ. And he wanted Christ. He wanted to be found in him, not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness or the rightness that is out from God as a source. Now, verse 4, he says that this one heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man. Such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmity. This is the conclusion. The This is the end result. We see that his heart has been changed. We see that this man will no longer wallow in the self-victimization of pride. Pride is a very heinous form of self-victimization. All types of things, both mental stresses, etc., and bodily disorders are created through pride. But we really don't have a spiritual medicine in the West, do we? Or maybe we do. The biblical documents are the spiritual medicine chest of the Western world. Or at one time the biblical documents were. There needs to be a return to the reliable, formidable, spiritual, medical book of the West, and that is the biblical doctrine. He goes on. Verse 6, but though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he is me. The verb to be is italicized, and therefore was added to the text. Or that he hears of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, and here exalted above measure is to raise oneself. Raise oneself over. In other words, a reference to God. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the instrumentality of the abundance of the revelation. Now notice Revelation is in the plural. The last book of the New Testament canon is not the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the unveiling, the lifting of the veil, the unveiling. So Paul writes, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance or through the superabundance of the revelation, there was given to me, that was, notice, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This is a very interesting verse. Here is Paul's prayer in verse 8. For this thing, I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In the Greek it reads, that stand off from me for good. What? Well, he tells us in verse 7, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. What this thorn in the flesh is, we don't exactly know. We don't exactly know what it is. We have some speculations as to what it might be. Some think that Paul suffered from debilitating eye disease, and there are other speculations. We don't really know. But Paul says that he was given a golops in the flesh, or in the sarx, a skolops, that is a stake, or splinter or thorn, that is, an injurious foreign object or body. An injurious foreign object or body.
God.
Exactly who we are. God knows our needs exactly. Now, notice, he writes, verse 7, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a scolops, or an injurious foreign object or body. He goes on, a messenger, the word angel in both the Old Testament, it is the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And Malek refers to angel, Malek. Here in the New Testament, it is angelos, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Here is God's method of dealing with Paul so that he is not, or his life is not, destroyed by pride, so that he is not ruined by an inordinate self-esteem. Pride is a deep and heinous sin. And if one thinks very deeply about pride, and the ruin it engenders, one can begin to have some insight, some awareness as to why God, in his infinite wisdom, dealt with Paul in this manner. In Proverbs 16:18, it reads, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, this verse refers to all individuals, whether rich or poor. It encompasses every skin, hue, tone, color. It embraces religious person, professional person, business persons, political persons. No one escapes. And so, Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. Gaon is the Hebrew word for pride. Gaon. The trilateral root of this word means to rise up, to rise up. Gaon is a masculine noun in Hebrew. And so in our English, it reads, English Bible, it reads, pride goes. In Hebrew, the word goes is a transliteration of the word faces. Gaon. Face destruction, Sheber. Excuse me. And Sheber means breaking or the fracture or the shattering of an individual's life. A haughty spirit, the word is Kobach, and it means height. A haughty spirit faces a fall. And here fall means stumbling or calamity or ruin. think about individuals who have been, whose lives have been supplanted by pride. One can have a therapist who is prideful, and one can have a client or patient who is prideful. And we talk about transference and counter-transference. But I've yet to read a paper that addresses the epistemology of transference and counter-transference, I've yet to read a paper that deals with pride, or a pride of position or power, or the pride on the part of the patient. Pride is very disastrous in relationships. And getting to the bottom of family problems, one sees a lot of pride in the hearts of individuals. Getting to the part of relationship problems between husbands, relationship problems between husbands and wives, there's a lot of pride. Looking at the political scene during the sound bites, and one notes the monstrous pride that has wedded itself to power. The frightened God dealt with Paul in his own way. And Paul wrote, and Paul said that the verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 12, that I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, in verse 9, it's very important to note what Paul says. Verse 9, sufficient, that is, God's grace, God's catalyst, all that Paul needed. Paul will go under, will come to understand why God gave him this storm. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. That is, you need nothing more than my provision. You need nothing more than my grace. And my grace is dealing with the problems of life and dealing with the problem of pride and part. My grace is sufficient. I will take you through. I will see you through. God does not lead us to